Minnesotans, don't take the bait. Do not take the bait. Do not allow them to deploy federal troops into here.
Federal agents raided a Minneapolis judge's estate and allegedly uncovered nearly $100 million tied directly to the Sinaloa cartel. What started as a single raid has blown open some cartel distribution networks operating in plain sight, hundreds of millions in fraud flowing through protected systems, judges overturning jury convictions, and federal agents now clashing head-on with state leadership. And what agents uncovered next explains why thousands are being arrested and why top officials are under investigation.
In Minneapolis so far, we brought hundreds of criminals off the streets that were dangerous to society and dangerous to that community.
In June 2024, Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison charged Abdelfatah Yusuf and Lul Ahmed with stealing $7.2 million from Medicaid through their company Promise Health Services. And prosecutors documented a scheme running from 2018 to 2023 that involved overbilling, double billing, and phantom services for personal care assistance that was never actually provided to patients.
So operations continue unabated here in Minneapolis. Several illegal alien criminals taken off the streets yet again over the past 24 hours. Again, that is what we're here to do, and we're not going to be deterred in doing that. We are going to take these criminal illegal aliens off the street and make America a safer place, make Minneapolis a safer place. Again, that is why we're here.
The evidence included $387,000 in cash withdrawals and over $1 million transferred to personal accounts for luxury purchases. And in August 2025, a jury convicted Yusuf on 6 counts of aiding and abetting theft by swindle after reviewing all of that documentation during trial. 2 months later, Hennepin County Judge Sarah West threw out the conviction entirely by ruling the evidence was circumstantial and that a reasonable hypothesis existed that Yusuf's brother could have committed the fraud alone, despite the jury reaching a different conclusion after hearing weeks of testimony and examining the financial records. Jurors went public with their shock at the ruling, with one describing the fraud as obvious based on what they reviewed during trial and expressing disbelief that a judge could override their unanimous verdict. State Senator Michael Holmstrom called Judge West an extremist for a decision that effectively taught fraudsters how to structure schemes that create alternative explanations that can survive judicial scrutiny even after jury conviction.
It's been used a lot, and if I needed it, I'd use it. I don't think there's any reason right now to use it, but if I needed it, I'd use it. It's very powerful.
If I had done this, I would have pled guilty.
Didn't federal agents find gold jewelry, cash in your closet?
They found minimal jewelry.
That overturned conviction was only a fraction of what federal investigators uncovered. Minnesota has been ground zero for one of the largest fraud operations in U.S. history. The Feeding Our Future case began in 2022 when the Department of Justice started charging individuals who ran nonprofits that falsely claimed to provide meals to children during COVID-19. And by late 2025, the numbers were staggering, with 98 people charged and 57 convicted, while prosecutors indicated more indictments were forthcoming.
Let me detail a couple of illegal aliens we took off the streets over the past 24 hours that were walking our streets over those past 24 hours. Here's one, Mr. Carlos Gomez Acosta, charged with cocaine trafficking and a controlled substance violation. This is an interesting one because this individual was what we would term as a Gulf, which is a gotaway across the border. This individual crossed the border and was a Gulf, a gotaway. More than likely, over those past 4 years, when we had millions crossing the border unabated. This is what we get in our communities. What happens at the border does not stay at the border. And then we have Lin Lee, an illegal alien from Red China.
And they have to be Somalis involved in this feed your children, the autistic thing. I mean, there's many, many cases of it. And it's just, don't we know that that's just a deflection for them to not get into and pry into this, the facts that are there of these criminals stealing money?
The total theft reached $250 million in federal funds, and of 92 defendants whose backgrounds were documented, 82 were Somali Americans who operated fake daycare centers and autism programs through industrial-scale overbilling for services that were never actually provided to anyone. A retired Navy intelligence officer named Lieutenant Commander Philip Parrish, who served on the Joint Terrorism Task Force, claims he documented these fraud flows starting in 2016 and traced funds from fake Minnesota daycare affairs to al-Shabaab through informal Hawala transfer networks that moved money overseas without detection.
For months, our Minneapolis station KSTP has been investigating why many daycares continue to receive taxpayer dollars despite numerous violations.
Parrish says he warned Minnesota officials about terror financing, and those warnings went nowhere. And while federal prosecutors haven't verified the al-Shabaab connection in court, they haven't disputed the fraud scale either since HHS froze child care funds nationally in response to the Minnesota fraud waves that exposed systemic vulnerabilities.
Every single action that our ICE officers take is according to the law and following protocols that we have used for years.
The fraud networks and drug networks operate in the same communities under the same sanctuary protections that local officials are now defending in court against the federal enforcement that could have disrupted these operations years ago. That context explains what came next.
Since January, the Department of Homeland Security has arrested over 480,000 criminal illegal aliens. 70% of those individuals have criminal charges against them or have been convicted.
In late 2025, between 2,000 and 3,000 federal agents flooded the Minneapolis-St. Paul and arrested illegal aliens convicted for robbery, homicide, assault, and even terrorism.
You will be held accountable for your crimes.
DHS Secretary Kristi Noem didn't stay behind the podium for this operation. She personally joined federal agents during arrests, appearing on scene as operations unfolded across the Minneapolis to St. Paul Metro. That decision signaled that the federal government viewed Minnesota as a priority enforcement zone, not a routine jurisdiction.
Do not allow them to invoke the Insurrection Act. Do not allow them to declare martial law. Do not allow them to lie about the security and the decency of this state. And let's let this investigation play itself out.
Processing.
By January 2026, more than 3,000 individuals were in federal custody. Raids were executed simultaneously across multiple counties, targeting schools, places of worship, residential complexes, and private homes identified through intelligence linking them to trafficking, fraud, or harboring criminal fugitives. DHS officials confirmed the arrests included individuals with prior convictions for drug distribution, assault, robbery, and terrorism-related offenses.
Out.
According to DHS records, Governor Tim Walz released nearly 470 criminal illegal aliens after President Trump took office, individuals who, under standard federal procedure, would have been transferred directly to ICE custody. Many had documented drug trafficking histories, meaning their release didn't only undermine immigration enforcement, it also reinserted known operators into active cartel supply zones. That decision reshaped the entire operation. The Department of Justice opened formal investigations into both Walz and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, focusing on whether state and municipal actions constituted obstruction of federal law enforcement. President Trump also publicly warned that continued defiance of federal authority could trigger extraordinary constitutional measures, including invocation of the Insurrection Act, a step reserved for situations where state leadership is deemed unable or unwilling to enforce federal.
And this was the scene today at the Whipple Federal Building, the epicenter of protests in Minneapolis. The building serving as a staging facility for ICE agents, DHS officers, and Customs and Border Protection personnel. This all comes one day after President Trump threatened to invoke the Insurrection Act in Minnesota. Late this morning, he issued a social media post that read in part, "The governor and mayor don't know what to do. They have totally lost control and are currently being rendered useless. If and when I am forced to act, it will be solved quickly and effectively." This afternoon, he was asked what the trigger would be for the Insurrection Act to be used in Minnesota.
He controls one of the most prolific and violent drug trafficking organizations in this world.
The cartel presence in Minnesota isn't a speculation because federal indictments have documented exactly how Sinaloa and CJNG built their Twin Cities operations over a five-year period.
The facts are that federal agents are arresting murderers, cartel-connected criminals, and other individuals who pose a real danger to the people of Minneapolis.
In August 2024, the DEA Omaha Division charged 15 individuals in a Mexico-based trafficking conspiracy that had been flooding Minneapolis with methamphetamine, cocaine, and fentanyl since 2019 through an organized distribution network.
The lawsuit we're filing against the United States Department of Homeland Security to end the unlawful, unprecedented surge of the federal law enforcement agents into Minnesota.
The network's leader was a Minnesota drug dealer named Clinton James Ward, a mid-level operator who made a calculated move after his 2019 arrest. Instead of laying low, Ward fled to Jalisco, Mexico, where he did something most U.S.-based traffickers never manage. He embedded himself directly with Sinaloa and CJNG leadership. Prosecutors later described his role as a Mexican storefront operation. Minneapolis buyers placed orders as if dealing with a local supplier, while Ward coordinated bulk shipments straight from cartel-controlled labs and warehouses in Mexico. Ward wasn't moving small quantities. He specialized in high-volume, low-visibility logistics using trusted couriers, layered intermediaries, and pre-established Midwest distribution cells to move product north without triggering immediate federal attention. By the time investigators caught up, his operation had already normalized cartel-scale trafficking inside Minnesota. And Ward was extradited to the United States in March 2024. Authorities expected disruption. Instead, the opposite happened. The network barely slowed. Cartel suppliers simply swapped managers, handed the same routes to new handlers, and continued using the infrastructure Ward had spent years building. The phones stayed active. The supply lines stayed open. The money kept moving. That continuity became clear in November 2025, when federal prosecutors secured convictions against 19 additional defendants tied to a connected Upper Midwest trafficking ring. The seizures from that case alone were staggering. Over 100 pounds of 9 pounds of powder, and 120,000 counterfeit pills, quantities intended for direct distribution into Minnesota communities, not long-term storage. Investigators also confirmed the operation was never confined to one state. The DEA's Rocky Mountain Division documented parallel seizures in Colorado, Utah, Montana, and Wyoming throughout 2025, totaling 8.7 million pills and 3,100 pounds of methamphetamine. Every major seizure traced back to the same cartel hubs in Denver and Salt Lake City, which function as regional distribution nodes feeding Minneapolis through interconnected Midwest trafficking corridors. Minnesota's Democratic leadership answered Operation Metro Surge with a barrage of litigation designed to stop federal enforcement at every possible turn.
Ward lived a life of luxury, making millions of dollars trafficking methamphetamine, and those days are over.
The ACLU filed suit against DHS over raid tactics on December 17th, and Attorney General Ellison followed with an 80-page complaint on January 12th, accusing DHS of 10th Amendment violations through what he called militarized raids and racial profiling of immigrant communities. On January 16th, U.S. District Judge Kate Menendez granted a preliminary injunction prohibiting ICE from using pepper spray, tear gas, or arresting peaceful protesters and observers during enforcement operations, which the Department of Justice immediately appealed on January 19th. Judge John Tunheim separately ordered the release of a Venezuelan family detained in a St. Paul raid by ruling agents lacked proper warrants, establishing a pattern where state officials file lawsuits and federal judges issue injunctions, while criminal aliens exploit the resulting chaos to evade custody and disappear back into sanctuary communities. The DOJ investigations into Walls and Frey continue, and President Trump's threat to invoke the Insurrection Act reflects the reality that coordinated state resistance to federal law enforcement may require extraordinary constitutional measures to overcome. Minneapolis is living through the largest federal immigration enforcement operation in American history. Cartel supply lines built over half a decade remain intact. Hundreds of millions in documented fraud were exposed, and state judges are throwing out convictions that juries delivered after reviewing overwhelming evidence. This is either the restoration of law and order or the beginning of something else entirely. Drop your take in the comments, subscribe, and turn on notifications, because Operation Metro Surge is expanding to sanctuary cities nationwide, and your city might be next.